Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Joe, you're listening on Q. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Thanks for joining us. Friends, no matter if you are the singer, the writer, or the producer, the star, no matter the role, you have a purpose, and you're a leader in that purpose. Our goal is simple, is to inspire and transform and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue in his calling in our lives, and get others on cue with that purpose. You know, what is cue is how Nehemiah, a model transformation leader, led a star, broken, desperate, isolated people in building a wall around ancient Jerusalem, in essence, building a way of life. He see you eat them up. C is for common ground. It's what we can agree on. It's the why. U is to unify thought. Well, what vision can we share? And it's the what we do. And equally yoke, it's what's the game plan, what's success look like, what's the role in it, how we work together, is the how we get that done. So Q leadership in general is integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model to helping us do two things. One, get people to trust you, and two, get people to follow you, discipleship. Trust and discipleship is at the heart, is the axis of leadership. So as we always do, we want to start with our prayers of the Lord. You're a powerful, merciful, loving God. We thank you for this day. Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that Q leadership is your brainchild. But our calling in your name, we honor you today by doing two things, giving you the glory and impacting this generation through Q, Lord. Your word in Romans 12:2 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, Lord, use this ministry for that, to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform some of these new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call, receive the call, and raise some transformation leaders and gatekeepers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as our show, we thank you for joining us. And what we'd like to do is have a dialogue, have a conversation about leadership in God's word, equip leaders with the roadmap to tap into that faith and tap into that discipleship and building those foundational trust in each one of those. Highlight everyday leaders that are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness. Our show is a lot of things, but it is not to criticize, but to shine a light on some truth and love, not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things, and it's not to focus on the mere symptoms of a problem, but to get at the root of the problem in a sense. Treat the infection, not the runny nose. So with today, as with any day, let's be open, and we hear and we pray that we hear the Lord and not me. Have the right questions, no matter what the differences may be. Remember that this life is about love and surrender, and there may be differences of opinion, but let us do what a true transformation leader says. Let us agree without being disagreeable. Be thought partners. Have some fruitful dialogue. So today, we thank you for joining us. You know, today what we're talking about is some of the things that we hear in our time and the way we grew up, some things we agree, we may not agree with. But the principles of not being disagreeable is on trial. You know, some years ago when I was serving a client in the Bay Area, one of the staff clients were really appalled when she discovered that I had eaten some squirrel. Squirrels, in her mind, was some small, nice animals that played in city parks, but not the large squirrels that we grew up hunting and savoring over. It may not be appetizing to some of you listening, but I had to explain to my client, that yes, it was a sport, but it was also us going to the grocery store. You know, she grew up with a family who had the resources to go to the store and put food on the table. But for us, it was the way we supplemented. We hunted, we raised animals, planted gardens, sustained that living. It was the way of life in the South, and a lot of people that we knew we grew up with. And I went to explain that Southern living, and then I summed it up in kind of like 5 S. It's about family. It's about faith, it's about family, it's about food, it's about fun, and it's about freedom. You know, faith from the perspective, church was at the center of our community, and Christ was at the center of that, and it governed how we raise and treat each other, how we raise our kids, how we participate in society. You know, the second F was family. It is no doubt something we got to get back to today is about our community, our village, of where we all were responsible and accountable to each other. We looked after each other, and it was okay for your neighbor or somebody, some stranger, to hold your child accountable when they're out of line. The third is food, living off the land. This is what my client didn't understand, is that when we hunted, as I said, it was just about sport, but we were actually going to the grocery store. Meals like what my mother-in-law cooked today with some collard greens, some roast, you know, those things, some fried chicken, biscuits and gravy, grits, homemade macaroni and cheese, sausage, not just any sausage, but where I came from, you got to have the Kaneka sausage, right? And fried catfish, okra, you know, just the list goes on. Sweet potato pie and even this peach cobbler that my wife has perfected so far these last few years. And I tell you, though, but most of all when it comes to food, it's the liquor of the South, sweet tea. You know, brewed sweet tea is when, you know, adding loads of sugar and serving it over some cold and some ice. If you've never had it before, it's going to change your life. And if you may have to watch your blood sugar a little bit, but there's nothing like sipping a tall glass of sweet tea on one of those hot summer days. If you want hot tea, you know, let it brew in the sun, but don't add ice. If you want unsweet tea, you just got to add some water because it comes one way in the South, sweet tea. The fun portion, just imagine all of these things from faith, family, and food on the front porch watching the sunset or after a long day of work, after a good game of anything, or really just swimming in the creek, having some fun. Backyard cookout, around a warm fire after a cold morning of hunting, or around a bonfire at night, a family reunion, a celebration, or just fellowship. And lastly, the freedom. Like any American, we love freedom. We're in our freedom series right here on Q Radio and sharing the freedom that is in Christ. We can find it in many ways, but What is really the matter? What matters is how we use it. From the Southern perspective, it was about freedom, the way of life, freedom to worship, to live, to love, to laugh, freedom to take a slower pace. You know, probably the heat and the humidity had a lot to do with it. But you know, going home for me is always a refresher because I get to slow down, from the fast pace where we, you know, the life that we live in each and every day. Freedom, in a sense, to keep your word. Keeping your word was vital coming up in the South. Sometimes that's all you had. This freedom also include not to use the phrase you all, but rather use y'all. It's okay in every conversation, everywhere you go, it's about to use y'all. I have to catch myself every now and then when I'm in the South and making sure I use y'all. I'm not sure that everyone can relate to what I just shared, but if you're Southern or not, you probably can. At least where those memories are made, conversations began, and even where stories are told, even where testimonies are given, and even how songs are written. There's been many novelists, poets, musicians who have told the Southern story, the Southern story of faith, family, food, fun, and freedom. However, you know, no one does it quite like my special guest. He's a poet, lyricist, brother, he's a friend. He's L.A. born, Loy, Alabama, if you don't know. He's a part poet, conversationalist, and singer. He sings about that Southern life. The songs of Chapel are all about faith. They're all about family. They're all about food, all about fun, and mostly they're all about freedom. As one fan shared with me earlier today, my special guest, Matt Chapel, is a patriot, a singer, a songwriter, a veteran, and he said generally all around nice guy. He's the real deal. Matt has a song in his heart, had it for a long time. From writing his book of poetry, he used to carry around when we were in junior high and high school, and to singing songs of freedom on a Nashville stage. His lyrics are real, they're rich, they're raw, and they're free. And he uses his life, his story, his testimony to have a conversation with anyone who will share 3 to 5 minutes of truth with him. And which leads to our question of the day, what if you had only 3.5 minutes to share your life, to share your story, to share your testimony? What would you sing? What would the words be? What would you share? And we'll talk a little about that love and laughter and life and freedom and hear some of this great music today. So with a virtual applause, give one for my friend, my brother, Matt Chappell. Matt, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. About yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good to hear your voice. Hey, thanks for taking the time out with this evening. I know it's pretty busy, and I'm glad I caught you on the weekend where you're not booked and traveling somewhere.
It's an honor to be here. I appreciate the invitation, and I've been looking forward to it.
Absolutely. You know, let's jump right in. I know we switched up a little things. You usually bring you in on after the first break, but there's some things we want to make sure we do, and have you here now to kind of set up some of our breaks with your songs was vitally important. But before we get to that, though, you know, I always start with the show with two questions, and one is, what is that one word that describes you?
Oh, fortunate.
Fortunate.
That's just you know, you can talk about yourself or you know, come up with any words you want to, but for me, you know, at this point in life, I can't imagine just how fortunate I am in every aspect of life. So if you can imagine having what you want, you know, and good family, good home, an ability to make a living and do what you want to do and be happy and all of those things. You know, I'm just one of those lucky guys that just gets to do those things. So,
absolutely fortunate. So, you know, this other question is probably trivial then, based upon your answer. You don't have to answer, but usually if money's no issue, what we do, you are doing it. You are living your today, right?
I am. If money was no issue, though, I would probably do a lot more of the same thing.
Exactly. It may add a little fishing, hunting in between too, right?
Yeah, I might be able to do the things that I'm doing now, just do them further from home, maybe.
Right. Exactly. So tell us about Matthew Chappell Shepherd.
Well, you know, it's kind of strange because there's not much about Matthew Chappell Shepherd that you don't know. But for the listeners, I grew up in Greenville, Alabama. My mom and dad still live in Greenville, Alabama, Mary Jo and Rodney. There's not, you know, I've never really run across anybody that didn't know who they were or, you know, I can always provide a definition of myself by saying I'm Rodney's boy or I'm Mary Jo's son or Greta's brother or whatever the case may be. I joined the military in 1992 after graduating from high school and I met the love of my life immediately after high school and got married and started a family and stayed in the military until 2006, and around about that time, I'd always had the dream of singing, but you know, the problem was I didn't know if I could, and you know, I don't say that in jest. I really didn't know. You know, I felt like I could, but I didn't know that.
Right.
And I decided to, you know, I just got old enough and mature enough to not really be fazed too much about the opinions of others. And I think when you're young, that rules your life. But I got to the point where it just really didn't matter because I just wanted to do something that made me happy and gave it a shot and been doing it ever since.
Been doing it ever since, you know. It is so important, and I'm just glad to see that you are. It's an inspiration to a lot of people. I probably don't say it too often, but you are. You know, there's not many memories that you or I have, especially in high school, where, you know, you or I were not part of it, right? From playing baseball, hunting, fishing, close your ears, Kennedy, chasing girls, you know, dealing with with death or just simply riding around, you know, mm-hmm. with riding around in mind. We're going to go to a break. Before we go to that, though, You're gonna tell us about this first song of Chapel and around Hillbilly Parade, and so it kind of signifies what I'm talking about, what we do from Riding West. So tell us about this song as we go into the break, and we'll come back and continue our dialogue.
Okay, this song is just a fun song we wrote not too long ago, and it's just about, you know, when you're 15 or 16 or 17, all that really matters is just having a car and being your independence and starting to get that independence and just riding in circles, basically burning up whatever gas you can afford to put in the car, and then when you can't afford that anymore, you just lean up against it so everybody knows you got one. And I think we probably spent the overwhelming majority of our lives, you and I, just either following somebody around or sitting waiting to find somebody to follow around. So that's
right.
The song's just about simplicity. It's just about the beginning.
So with that, we're going to go to the break, and we'll come back after with our special guest, Matt Chapel, and talk about the songs of Chapel in only 3.5 minutes. And so with that, after the break, so feel free to call us at 310-861-2331, and stay with us, and here is Hillbilly Parade.
Simple on a Saturday night, just a few of me amigos and a cooler light in a pickup truck, all jacked up, ready to head downtown. Yeah, all you need is cooperation from a small percentage of the population in a tiny corner of a big old nation to make this thing go down. A couple of miles of road and a bunch of friends. When you get to the courthouse square, turn around and do it again, yeah. Hillbilly, Billy Parade, bunch of homegrowns all American made. Jump in line and your troubles fade away, away, away. Hey, Hillbilly, Billy Parade, single file line 10 MBH. No better way to end the day. Hillbilly Parade. Rodney's in a Jeep with the doors removed, and Rusty's in a Yoda that still smells new, and Dan showed up in his wife's truck, but she don't know he's gone. And Jay Wood's level of participation goes hand in hand with his probation. Yeah, he's a fan of our location, 'cause he ain't far from home. We all know damn well where Main Street ends. When you get to the stop sign there, flip around and do it again, yeah.
Hillbilly, Billy Parade, bunch of homegrowns all American made. Jump in line and your troubles fade away, away, away. Hey, Hillbilly, Billy Parade, single file line 10 MBH. No better way to end the day. Hillbilly Parade. Hillbilly Parade.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us and listening on cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are, get you on cue with God's will and his purpose. So today's question of the day, we're actually talking about Songs of Chapel, only 3.5 minutes. Helping us with that is a friend, my brother, Matt Chapel, who's a patriot, singer, songwriter, and veteran who has dedicated his life of sharing a story in 3.5 minutes. And so that was one of them. Hillbilly Parade. So, Matt, talk about Hillbilly Parade a little bit. It's very catchy, and I just love it. And I think I probably know the words by now, right?
Thank you. Well, you lived the words, so it should
exactly,
be easy
exactly.
To memorize
I think that's
them.
Why it was so easy for me to absorb it. So, yeah, I can see that. I can see that fairly well.
Yeah.
So it was really about – so tell us about it.
Well, you know, we sat down and we're constantly writing and you know tasking each other to come up with things that we can write about. But the song itself it's nothing that it's nothing that somebody hasn't talked about before. You just try to find a better way to say it, growing up in Greenville, Alabama. There's, there's McDonald's, there's a TGNY parking lot, there's, a stretch of road that goes over to the courthouse and makes a big square back to the hilltop and then back to McDonald's again, So you got a choice. You can just drive in circles around McDonald's or you can take a break and drive straight for a minute and do a big square back to the courthouse and maybe go over by the high school or something like that. But that was it, but we seemed to really love doing that, and develop relationships and, have friends and just the simplicity of that kind of thing is, I don't know, it's special to me, because people are so caught up in Facebook and computers. I mean, people know what happened in China before they realize what happened in the back bedroom of their house, So it's, just the simplicity of it means a lot to me.
Sure, sure. You also had a co-writer on that, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Daniel Mason. He's actually the lead singer for a group here in Nashville called Amber's Drive, and they're actually doing a lot of really cool things right now, doing a lot of bigger shows and talking with different labels, and they've got a very, very unique sound, very fun to listen to and to watch. And Daniel and I started writing together probably 4 or 5 years ago, and we were competing against one another in a songwriting competition. Mm-hmm. Both advanced to the finals, and naturally Daniel won because he always does. So we started writing together, and we've become very good friends and know each other really well, and that always helps when you're trying to mesh thoughts and words and things like that.
Yeah, that's an amazing concept. You can compete with each other, still be friends, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We should be more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
We did a lot of writing as the Hillbilly Parade shares and really enjoying life. We did more writing a little bit even beyond the circles in our small hometown. And we almost did a writing. This is probably our second or third time sharing this, but we experienced enjoying life, right? But we also almost experienced death together. You want to tell us about our ride in Georgia, or you want me to tell it?
I did mention that my mom was listening, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
Before you said it, we never spoke of it, and we told our wives a few years back.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, that's we took a road trip. Probably went in a little too far. Probably didn't have permission to go as far as we did.
Right.
Got a little too tired on the way home, and we were having a conversation, and And then when the conversation stopped, got a little too sleepy, and at speed woke up just in time to avoid, you know, those big concrete things that hold up the overpasses. Ran off the road and very nearly ended both of us. I was behind the wheel, but it wouldn't have mattered at that point. It would have just all been conversation because, you know, 16 years old, we'd have both been gone, and that was a reality check for both of us.
It was you know, crossing the median on the interstate, getting woke up by a trucker, right? So all this promise almost in heaven, but that's the thing about it, you know, God kept us. And you know, but at the same time, I can remember we probably had about 3.5 minutes, kind of cry a little bit, right? And then, but at the same time, you know, it all of these things are a part of our testimony and our story. So now we've shared it for the third time. I think everybody knows it now. I think I told Mom about it already, so hopefully she's not teared up at this moment. But Miss Joe, so you're okay, I hope, right?
Yes.
You know, let's before we jump in beyond of talking about confronting the realities of, you know, having to take a little bit more responsibility, tell us about 3.5 minutes. What does that mean to you?
You know, 3.5 minutes, probably if you'd asked me that, 10 years ago, I probably would have gotten out a calculator and tried to figure out how many seconds it was and defined it in that way. But
I did do that.
But, yeah. So you got that figured out already. But I think for me right now, it's a barometer by which I measure my ability to condense a life lesson. You know, because you 3.5 minutes, if you listen to, you know, radio, that's about the amount of time that you have. And to be able to take and take a story, and just like they taught you in school, you got to say what you're going to say, then you got to say it, and then you got to say what you said. And to be able to draw everything down and make it understandable, make it relatable, make it meaningful, and all of those things, and accomplish that and achieve that in 3.5 minutes. It's an incredibly challenging thing to do. If you've never done it, I would challenge anyone who's listening to give it a shot, because it's a very, very difficult thing to do. But when you're able to do it, and then someone can listen to a song and relate to it and understand it and feel it and either smile or laugh or cry, or just be able to say, hey, you know, that I get that, you know, that he's it's almost like he's writing that song about me, then that's pretty rewarding for me.
Absolutely. You know, and it's also important, especially when, you know, we talked about waking up in the median and have our 3.5 minute cry, and mm-hmm. you know, part of that story is when you have to manage things where you don't see them coming, right? You have that choice about things to happen to you coming in age and being responsible, and you know, how much do you know things that catch us off guard go into your music to kind of help people understand and get and see themselves through it.
Well, you know, just flashing back to that night when that happened, you know, I always try to look at things that happened and you know, understand them, understand why they happened. And I don't know about you, I have a feeling it's the same way it is for me, but that particular moment in time so many years ago, has probably kept me from getting into a similar situation 100 times since then. Because that experience, that thing that that happens, whatever it may be, you know, you learn from it. If you're smart, you learn from it, you know, and you just don't put yourself in that situation again. And so talking about not seeing things coming, you know, there's reality to life, and there's things that happen to you just because you're being foolish or immature or young or whatever you want to call it. And then there's things that just happen. You know, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't deserve it. You know, you can lay it out from cancer to, you know, a car wreck. It just happened. It's one of those things. Look up the definition to the word accident or disease, and you'll understand that certain things are just unavoidable. And those are the things that make us, can make us great. They can destroy us or they can make us great. And if you can just embrace it when it happens, live through it, then, you know, that's going to make you who you are. And it's just, I don't know, just being able to understand and live those things and understand that they make you, you know, make you the person that you are or the person that you will be.
Sure. How important is faith during all that time? Things you see coming or you don't, or even things that you didn't cause, as you said, from cancer perspective. How important is that going through that time?
It's really of the utmost importance. It's really the only thing that matters, because through all of those things, you know, when it's good, when it's great, when something great happens that you didn't see coming, well, you know, there's just triumph and celebration in that. And hopefully during your triumph and your celebration, you can remember that it's a blessing, and you can thank the Lord that it happened. But when things go bad, when it's bad or hard to deal with, then, you know, having faith that you can persevere, having faith that you can get through it, having faith that you're surrounded by a great family that will be there for you, and you have the ability to get to the other side. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Knocked on my door. But just you know, faith is everything. So
absolutely. You know, it gets you to the point to where it's time to make that choice, and our next song we're going to play is about coming of age and being responsible. And it's titled "Didn't See It Coming." Can you intro the song for us and tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. This is one of my favorite songs. You know, graduating from high school, had the opportunity, to go play some baseball, and you know, then life happens, you know, and for me, it was, you know, everything's been great. Like I said, I'm just fortunate. I met my soulmate immediately following high school, and we're still happily married, and our kids are healthy and grown and raising kids of their own, you know, it's just awesome. But all along the way, there are trials, there are tribulations, there's lost jobs, and you know, you name it. But you just live through it and come out on the other side, and that's what the song's about.
Absolutely. And so after the break, we'll continue our dialogue, Songs of Chapel, only 3.5 minutes. And so during a break, feel free to give us a call at 310-861-2331 or log into our live chat room and have a conversation. Kennedy can take your question there. We would love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. Your host, Eric Powell, will be right back after Didn't See It Coming.
I was was captain of the baseball team. Straight A's homecoming king with a full ride at the university. She called me late one Friday night. I could tell by her voice she was gonna cry. She knew what she had to say and what it would mean. It could have been anything. Thought she was breaking up with me, but through the tears I heard her say, the two of us are gonna be three, yeah. Suddenly, I didn't see it coming, like a freight train, it all came crashing down on me, knocked me off my feet, like a strike of lightning, yeah. And I didn't see it coming. Been married 9, we bought a house, but with overtime we made ends meet. It's the American dream. Then Wall Street jumped the track, the company started cutting back, but I thought they couldn't touch me. And then the boss man called me in, he said, I'm sure by now you know the market's down again. I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have to let you go. And suddenly, I didn't see it coming, like a freight train, it all came crashing down on me, knocked me off my feet, like a strike of lightning, yeah. And I didn't see it coming. It can seem like a tragedy. It can take you and break you and drop you to your knees. And suddenly, I didn't see it coming, like a freight train, it all came crashing down on me, knocked me off my feet, like a strike of lightning, yeah. Baseball team, straight A's homecoming king with a full ride at the university.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. To help you leave where you are, getting you on cue with God's will and his purpose. And today's question of the day, talking to the Songs of Chapel, only 3.5 minutes. And our special guest, Matt Chapel, is a patriot, singer, songwriter, and Nashville star. And that 3.5 minutes, Matt, was about suddenly. And if I didn't see it coming, love it. I love it. So it's inspired by your love of your life, Rebecca, at the first part of that, right?
Man, just like I told you the other day when I was talking to you, you know, every song is about, you know, everything. Yeah, you know, it's she's a big part of everything I've ever done. So obviously, you know, she's at the forefront of things. But you know, there's my mom and dad that you know, that supported me the entire time through everything. You know, regardless of what was going on. You know, never any judgment, never any doubt, never any, you know, not that they shared with me anyway. So,
sure.
You know, being able to, you know, have, like we were talking about earlier, like have faith that the people that are most important to you are going to be there, and never fearing that you're not going to have that support. It gives you so much strength that you can really do anything you want to do.
Sure. Absolutely. You know, along the way, let's take a quick detour to talk about your parents. You know, I love them to death, and they've always embraced me no matter what. You know, even though at times where when we grew up in, and it's no secret, the South, you know, there's still, you know, healing from racial ties and so forth. And as we were growing up still there in the 80s and 90s. But, you know, they really show some great colors when, you know, we had a situation where the administration of our public school gave you guys a visit. And I just wanted to kind of honor them and just, you don't have to go into details, just kind of share the story and help them understand what type of parents Mr. Rodney and Ms. Joe are and who we're dealing with.
Well, they, you know, my mom and dad, just like your mom and dad, you know, you if you know your parents, you know mine, you know, they're just always think things through. Nobody jumps to react or anything along those lines, you know, just look at things for what they are. And for me, fortunately, you know, having friends, I didn't have, I guess you could say, as far as close friends go, there weren't, you know, tremendous numbers. But the ones that I did have, you know, were very, very close friends. And you, the closest of all, spending a lot of time at the house and me spending a lot of time at yours. And really, you know, you mentioned, you know, in race issues and all of those things. I never saw the line. You know, I never,
sure,
never really looked at someone and thought, you know, well, that's a black person or that's a white person or that's a Asian person or whatever the case was. It's just a person. You know, I'm going to get to know you and I'm going to, you know, like you, love you, whatever the case is. But the color of your skin really never played into it, I guess you could say. You know, and I know you're the same way. So for me, it was easy, but for a lot of people, you know, pretty difficult.
Yep. It was pretty difficult. And at the same time, you know, just because of where you come from, it was no issue. You know, it was really about the heart of a person, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, we're in this freedom series, as you know, and as we talked about, your music is about faith, it's about family, it's about food, it's about fun, and it's about freedom. And, you know, as you write, and I'm sure you have that freedom in your mind a lot, and a lot of things you sing and do as you perform, what is freedom to you?
Wow. That's a good question. For me, you know, having been in the military and been fortunate enough to travel all over the world and see different places and different societies and actually with my own eyes see people that don't know what freedom is. We are part of a culture that, you know, in the not too distant future or distant past in terms of, you know, cultures and countries, we do, you know, have as part of our history, you know, the lack of freedom. And so, you know, both historically and seeing it with my own eyes, I understand what not having freedom is, just like every American does and is in terms of definition. But most don't understand or take for granted the freedoms that they do have. And so for me, having you know, learned about it and then experienced it, and, you know, just seeing it, I have a, I guess for me, freedom is knowing that if I decide to do something, I can do it. And, you know, as long as I'm not breaking any laws, nobody's going to stand up and say, well, you can't live there, or you can't work there, or you can't worship there, or you can't go there. Because we are, by our very definition, free. We're a free people. And so as I've gotten older, my freedom is just being able to attempt and accomplish anything that I want to. In the military, as a, you know, a munitions technician, I learned that. Left the military and became a vice president of a credit union, large credit union in Nashville. Stopped doing that, pretty much retired for a couple of years. And then just out of nowhere, I got the inclination, you know, all the while I'm singing, I'm writing music, I'm doing all these things in music. Then I got the thought, well, you know, I'll go try out cosmetology, of all things. You know, so I went and graduated from Paul Mitchell and, you know, learned how to do all of those things. And now, you know, I'm part of the staff at Paul Mitchell, the school, and the operations manager. And all the while, I'm still writing music and singing and doing all of those things. So, you know, freedom to me is just not taking for granted all that you have and all of the potential things that you could have. If you want it, nobody is going to stop you from getting it. And I think we've both learned that in our lives so far. So it's all about desire. It's all about motivation. It's all about whatever you want to do. If you want to do it, go do it. And that's invaluable. That's something that unless you're born here and have all of the opportunities that come with being part of this nation, you really can't understand it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, sometimes we'll get caught up in the challenges that we may have, if it's personally, professionally, or whatever the case is. You know, how do we stop, or how do we prevent ourselves from getting falling victim to our circumstances, or not be able to get around certain hurdles when things come about, and it kind of magnify our circumstances in a lot of different ways to where, you know, we're overwhelmed by what's in front of us. How do we prevent that, or how do we manage that?
I think it comes down to just taking ownership. A lot of times when things get difficult, and everybody's guilty of it, I'm guilty of it, you're guilty of it, everybody that I've ever met in my entire life is guilty of it. But when things get tough, when things get difficult, we always tend to close our eyes and start pointing fingers. Well, I can't do it because of this, or I couldn't get done because of that, or I couldn't do it because of her, or I couldn't do it because of him. And I think that the way we get around it and the way that we avoid falling victim to the lack of faith, ultimately is what it boils down to, is the lack of faith in that moment of trial, whatever it is. We point fingers and lay blame in the wrong place, because it just comes down to you. Take ownership of the situation, decide what you want to do, and if you truly want to do it, you can get it done. But if you want to bail out and if you want to go in a different direction, then close your eyes and point fingers and blame somebody else. And I'm sure, you know, somebody will listen to you, and misery loves company, and somebody will agree with you, and that'll be what you needed to hear, and then you still haven't accomplished anything. So just taking ownership for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So during that time, though, you know, how do we kind of protect our heart during that tough time? You know, that is so important. It is really the secret to really experiencing that freedom, because if you get in these circumstances and you get bitter or you have challenges and your heart starts to harden, how do we protect ourselves in that?
I think, you know, just being confident in what you've chosen to do, focus on the people that are closest to you, think through your decisions, don't just jump out there. And even though I know a lot of things in my life, some people in my family probably go, man, that guy's crazy, what is he doing? You know, he's walking away from this and going and doing that, or he's stepping away from this and going and doing that. But never once have I just jumped out and done something. There's always been a tremendous amount of thought. There's always been me, you know, talking to the people that are closest to me and making certain that I'm not going to, you know, create any heartache for anyone else in the process of doing what I've decided to do. And as long as I know that I've got the people that I care about most in my corner, and I've thought through and I know what I'm doing and I know how I'm going to go about doing it, and I can be confident when someone questions me in the way that I answer the question and confident in the way that I'm doing what I'm doing, then then I'm protected.
You know, you probably got some of that when you decided to leave the credit union and go to cosmetology, right? Talk about that.
Oh, wow. You know, in actuality, when I left the credit union, I left the credit union I was headed nowhere. You know, I was focused on writing music and performing and all of those things. Actually, I was at home, I was still working in music and still doing all of those things, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't have a conventional job. And then when I started doing research about, you know, just starting a business of my own, I was looking at different opportunities and businesses and trying to figure out what was sustainable and what would work, and cosmetology felt like something that was, if you, you know, started that business and you could sustain it and keep it going and those kinds of things. And so then I started thinking, well, I can't possibly be a good manager if I don't even know how to do it. And so that's what prompted me to go to school to learn how to do it. So, you know, being a softball playing country music singing, you know, old good old boy from Alabama, and then to have all my buddies find out how you're going to hair school, yeah, you're going to beauty school, you know, and then, you know, people calling me Zohan, and I'll don't mess with the Zohan and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but right. you know it was challenging, but I will tell you one thing. It did prevent me from ever thinking about not finishing school, because then I would have been a beauty school dropout. And you can't be a beauty school dropout, I guess.
You can't be a beauty school dropout. You know, a quote of the day right there. You're right. You had to see it through. You had to see it through,
yeah.
Right? You had to see it through, and it is nothing like, you know, finding reasons not to do something, right? So often we're influenced by others, especially when you start down a certain path, and no matter what the circumstances is, it can get pretty challenging, I'm sure, when you hear pressures from peers, and family, and friends, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, it's one of those things. I've always been confident, you know. I've never been swayed too much by other people. And so, you know, for those people that are closest to me, when I come up with something that I'm going to do, or they're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. But, you know, when I told my wife I was going to do that, she kind of cocked her head to the side. And she was like, you're going to do what? You know, so that even caught her off guard. But it was
right.
A good experience. And, you know, another notch in the belt, so.
Yeah, but you know, it's part of your stage. It's part of your act now. You know what to do and know what good looks like, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. They just, I guess the bad thing about it is it's kind of difficult to do all the things that I learned, you know, to do them on my own head. So I just got to throw on a hat and press on, so.
Right, right. But you know, you may have got a new song you need to write on. Can't be a beauty school dropout. That may be a little catchy there, right?
yeah. I don't know how I would do that. That might not be 3.5 minutes. That might be about 6 or 7 minutes.
But, you know, but taking your song into account earlier, didn't see it coming, and then when you get to suddenly, you know, lots of times, even things you may see coming or not, just suddenly it hits you. I'm not talking about the challenges, but then suddenly, well, take us to that moment to where you knew you're getting booked, things are moving, this is all I'm going to do. Take us through that moment, and when did that happen? Because for me, regardless of where the road you travel, you pursued your dream. You pursued it in such a way, and it resonates with a lot of people that are listening on the phone. But take us to that suddenly moment.
I think for me it was I had been in Nashville for a little while, and really we moved up here. The market for my wife's profession was strong, and we knew that she would be able to find work, and I kind of figured that regardless of where we went, I would be able to find something to do. So we didn't move up here necessarily for music, but, you know, we were here, so might as well give it a shot. And I started going to songwriters' nights, and, you know, just I was by myself doing songs, and one night we were doing a short set, maybe 3 or 4 songs, and this gentleman walked up to me and asked me if I would be interested in fronting a band. And I got to looking into who he was and who he was playing for, and he had given me the name of the band, and they were really good. I mean, they were a strong band, and they had won national competitions, and they were, you know, label worthy, and they had lost their lead singer, and I didn't have the chops that I needed to be a front man for this particular band. They were beyond me, but having him ask me based on the merits of what I had done that night was a huge confidence boost. It was validation in a way, and you know, I got back to him, and I told him, you know, I don't feel as though I'm worthy of being a front man for your band, but if you will teach me and, you know, help me to get to the level that I need to be, I said I would be honored to do it. And they brought me in and worked with me and helped me and all of those kinds of things, and I grew as a performer, grew as an artist. And you know, the rest is history. We've been doing it ever since.
Been doing it ever since. You know, that's a suddenly moment. And you know, as yep. as all these things start working together, right? And you know, but I'm sure there was times where, you know, those challenges were there times. I won't say are sure. Were there times where, but prior to that, you were doubting, hey, was this my path or not?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've always those people that are closest to me know that, you know, regardless of how long I've been doing it or what I've been able to accomplish in the process, I'm always apprehensive. The stage is, you know, as well as we're doing, taking that and put it to the side. For me personally, there's always an internal struggle. Some people call it stage fright, but I don't feel fear as much as I question myself. You know, am I prepared? Am I? Do I know everything that I need to know? Am I going to do the right things? Am I going to say the right things? Am I going to, you know, fill in the blank? Am I going to do whatever? And so that's not something that even still today. That I've fully transitioned beyond. I'm always apprehensive. I'm always making certain that I know what I need to know, and I can do what I need to do. And so, you know, throughout this whole experience, the time that it takes to be successful, the amount of effort that it takes to be successful, the work. I mean, people don't understand how much work is involved. pre-show and show and post-show and the money that goes into, you know, making sure that you have all the necessary equipment that you need and the constant replacements and brakes and all that kind of thing. So you get to a point where you really ask yourself, is this something that I can continue doing? Can I continue to do this? And I always just keep going. You know, it's something that makes me happy. And as long as it doesn't get in the way of life, I will do everything that I need to do to keep it going.
Right. So many instances where you had a reason to complain at times, right?
yeah.
It's so with that, I want you to intro. We're gonna go to take a quick break. You listen to On Cue, and we have our special guest Matt Chapper. And who is a country music artist, a veteran, and as well as a true servant and conversationalist when it comes to his music. And we're talking about having a story in 3.5 minutes. And so in our next 3.5 minutes, I want him to take us through, tell us about our next song that we're teeing up, Reason to Complain.
Reason to Complain. I wrote Reason to Complain with a gentleman. At the time, he was signed with Fame Records. His name's Gary Nichols. He's currently the lead singer for the Steel Drivers. He's incredibly talented. Love to watch him. Love to listen to him. Wonderful, wonderful voice. As a matter of fact, the version of the song that you have is, in fact, Gary's vocal. That's the one I believe I sent you.
Yeah.
But it is it's just a song about not finding a reason. Basically, I'm saying everybody's got a reason to complain, but the irony is none of us really do. I mean, truly, because we are so blessed and we are so fortunate. That we just even when times are great, you'll notice in the song, you know, even if you can't pay your bills, but you're living in a 4,000 square foot house. Well, whose fault is that? So that's what the song's about.
What's this song about? So friends, stay with us. Feel free to call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back after Reason to Complain.
Americans have a job, sitting back, getting fat, relaxing, unhappy with what we got. Cold AC, a big TV, and protection from the rain. Everybody's got a reason to complain.
Too much, too little, get too close, too far from the middle. It's either too dang hard or too much rain. Fed up, dead tired, even they talk about the aches and pain. Everybody's got a reason to complain.
Now look at him. Over half of the marriages in America don't survive. They fall prey to the old cliche, barely getting by. A couple of cars, a big old house, and some bills that they can't pay. Everybody's got a reason to complain.
Too much, too little, get too close, too far from the middle. It's either too dang hard or too much rain. Fed up, dead tired, even on your good days, talk about your aches and pains. Everybody's got a reason to complain.
A bunch of fools. There's so many people in the world out today, don't got it like we do, no.
Too much, too little, get too close, too far from the middle. It's either too dang hard or too much rain.
Reason to complain, and we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening on Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell, and that was Reason to Complain from country artist Matt Chappell, who's a patriot, singer, songwriter, and veteran, and it's a privilege to have him on his show. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help lead what is our, to get us on cue with God's will and his purpose. So Matt, Reason to Complain.
You got one?
Not at all. I shouldn't anyway, right? You know, but that's the thing about it is, you know, you always do all, even though we're in certain situations, do we find ourselves always wanting more?
Absolutely. And that can be, you know, that can be something that makes you great. It can be something that makes you worthless. You know, there has to be a happy medium, and we have to step back every now and then and just be thankful for what we have, you know.
Yes, be thankful for what we have, because we can end up chasing things. How do you help people who pursuing a dream, no matter what it is? What would you share about helping them understand and differentiate what you need to chase versus what you can't, what you shouldn't?
I think just prioritizing the things that you want to chase is the most important thing. I think
right.
if you want to chase everything, then awesome. But you better chase the right thing first, because if you're not deliberate enough and not thoughtful enough and not, you know, you don't think about it enough in order to put them in order and figure out what you need to chase and what step you need to build so that you can take the next step, then you compromise your ability to accomplish the things you need to accomplish.
Absolutely. You know, with that, we got a special studio guest in here with us, my mother-in-law, Mother Trish, and she got a great question for you related to that. Mother Trish?
Yes, good evening. My question is,
good evening.
What advice would you give to someone that would like to chase their dream? Let's say someone coming out of high school, getting married, same situation that you have. So what mm-hmm. are some of the things that you would ask them or advise them to do or to change from what you did?
I would make certain, ma'am, that they took the time to get their everyday lives in order. Young people that are getting started, and I have the benefit right now of sharing with you from personal experience, because my daughter is 24 and raising kids of her own, and my son is 21 this year. And he's active duty and doing his thing. But what I would say to that person is make sure that you can take care of everything that you're directly responsible for. Make sure that you can take care of your family. Take care of the things that you need to take care of. Do not allow a dream to compromise or get in the way of what truly is your happiness in life. Because most people get confused about why they want to do something. And if your dream is to be a professional boxer, is it because you want to be the best in the world, or is it because, you know, you saw Floyd Mayweather with $1 million and you think that's a great way to make money? Just make sure that you understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and make sure that you don't sacrifice your happiness in the process.
Right. Great, great, great answer, Matt. Thanks for sharing that. And that's just thanks for the question. You know, you hit on a point there of finding happiness. You know, go back to the five F's. The first one, faith. You know, what would you say, or why do we try at times find happiness in things other than God, or having Him as that priority to kind of lead you where we need to go? What's your thoughts around that?
Well, that is bouncing back to what we said earlier about faith, being grounded, having the people closest to you, understanding that you know, your foundation is what's going to keep you going. You can put all of the faith in the world in the things of the world, and they will disappoint you time and time again. So you have to have a foundation. Otherwise, you have to have something that is going to never fail you, that you can rely on. For me, you know, I've always had family. I've always had my mom and dad in support. I've always had my wife in support, my children in support. And so, you know, being raised in the church and having faith and being a Christian and understanding the importance of those things and being grounded and understanding that it is bigger than you, it's bigger than you, your family, it's bigger than everything. And being able to, you know, get your priorities in order and understand that there's only one thing that you can truly depend on. There's only one thing that's going to never fail you. It will always be there for you. You know, even if you've got the greatest family in the world, you know, they can leave this world. But if you truly have faith and you believe, then it'll always be there for you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you mentioned, we were talking earlier about this happiness, and sometimes you made a point about, you know, more, you know, it may be happy, but sometimes we can miss it, right? Because we're chasing, mm-hmm. looking at a little bit different. Talk about how we miss things at times.
Wow. Yeah, how many things have you missed, Eric?
Yeah, a few windows. a few windows. Yeah. Not only chasing things, but running from what the Lord has called me to do. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Both ways. Yeah,
absolutely. I always, you know, look back at things and see doors that were open and windows that were open and opportunities that were there, and you know, it's basic human nature. It's our selfishness that is in each and every one of us. That sometimes when there's something right in front of you, there's an opportunity right in front of you, things that you should be doing. And, you know, hindsight being 20/20, sometimes it's weeks, months, maybe years later, you look back and say, wow, you know, it was served up to me on a silver platter right there.
Right.
And I didn't do it. But once again, those are the things that you hopefully learn from. And then the next time there's an opportunity put in front of you, maybe you go a little slower and understand that it's been given to you, and, you know, make the commitment and do the things that you have to do to take advantage of the opportunity that's obviously you've been blessed with.
Yep. So when we miss those windows, or when we're chasing something, and we understand, we confront the reality that we have, how do we deal with regrets? How would you deal with them?
I think that regret is something that can break you down, and it can make you less of a factor for opportunities that are presented for you in the future. Just like the first time, okay, you missed the opportunity, you're past it, and now you've looked back, and you're telling yourself that you missed an opportunity. Well, here's where you hit the crossroads. Are you going to regret your way through the next three opportunities that have been presented you, or are you going to learn from it and then open your eyes wider and start looking right and left before you cross the road and pick up the next opportunity and pour yourself into it, because you missed the last one. Well, if you get bound up and bent out of shape and blind because of the regret that you have for missing that opportunity, I can promise you, you're going to miss three more. And that's not a good idea either. So, you know, it's like the person that's standing on the rooftop when the river floods, and they're standing there and they got faith, and somebody comes along in a canoe and says, "Hey, jump in, I'm going to save you." And he's like, "No, don't worry about it, God's going to save me." And then somebody comes along in an aluminum boat, says, "Jump in, I'm going to save you." He says, "No, God's going to save me." And somebody comes along in a yacht and says, "Climb aboard, we're going to save you." "No, God's going to save me." Well, then the river floods, the house washes away, and the person dies. Gets to heaven, talking to God. He says, "God, why didn't you save me?" God says, "Well, I sent you a canoe, an aluminum boat, and a yacht. What else do you want from me?"
Right, right. What else do you
want?
Yeah.
You know,
so if you got to sometimes seize the moment. Go ahead.
I'm I think we got a little bit of a delay. I'm just agreeing with you.
No. Yes, seize the moment, but also be able to seize the moment. Not only when you're pursuing your dreams, but sometimes those circumstances impact other people, right? And it's your point of making sure you have everything in order. You can take care of your family. That's important as you pursue your dreams. And when it starts to impact those around you and love you, how do you deal with that? Is it starts with priority? What are the things that we need to make sure we do if we miss those windows and then it starts to negatively impact those that you love?
Well, you know, for me, it's just I can always I'm fortunate enough to always be able to reflect back to the way I was raised, to the way my mom and dad raised me. And it might be different for everybody that's out there. But for me, if you're taking care of your house, then the negativity that might creep in from the outside or the natural level of judgment that you're going to face from other people. If you're taking care of your house, then that stuff can't get to you. If you're taking care of everything that you've got to take care of, the sports analogy that you will understand as well or better than most, if you do the work during the week, if you do the work, you put the time in, and then you perform poorly on Saturday or Sunday, you can still hold your head up and go about your business. But if you don't take care of your house, if you don't do the work Monday through Friday, and then you perform poorly on Saturday, well, now you're open and subject to ridicule and negativity and whatever the case may be, because it's you're at fault, you're guilty.
Exactly. Then you have to make sure you make it right. Yeah. And
absolutely.
With those that you love. So, which leads to our next song that you're going to play for us is "Don't Let the Sun Set on It." And as you know, in Ephesians 4:26 is about your anger, but it says, "Do not let the sun go down while you're still angered. But it's in a sense also in this song, it's about forgiveness, making it right, being a peacemaker. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You know, for us as a family, and I know that you guys experienced a lot of the same things, but, you know, my dad, there's been times over the past few years that he's really had a hard time physically, and several occasions where, you know, and I had this conversation with him not too long ago, you know, we just all got to a point on a couple of occasions where we had to face the reality that, you know, things might not go well. You know, we might not get to the other side of this thing. And it's a very difficult circumstance, and it's reflected in the song. But, you know, my wife and I, when we got married 22 years ago this year, I believe, we said, okay, you know, we're not gonna go to sleep angry. We're gonna work this out. We're not gonna wake up tomorrow dealing with the problem that happened yesterday.
Yep.
And that's the inspiration for the song. Just everything that we've been through with our family and through our married lives and those types of things. Just make sure that you make it right, because we're all on borrowed time, and the next minute is never guaranteed.
Never guaranteed. So with that, you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back during the break. We'll listen to Don't Let the Sun Set On It.
I've seen that look before. Not long ago I wore it well. Some call it pride. It got the best of me. It almost took the rest of me. And to this day I'm still lost inside. All I can say to you is let it go. Take it from someone who knows. Don't let the sun set on it. Go fix what needs fixing while there's time. Don't let the sun set on it. You may not get another chance to make it right. I said some hurtful words, then bad went straight to worse, and now I can't take it back. I've wasted my better years dealing with the memories, tears, and pain. That's still where I'm at. So find a way to talk, get out, and just move on. Don't worry about who's right or who's wrong. Don't let the sun set on it. Go fix what needs fixing while there's time. Don't let the sun set on it. May not get another chance to make it right. I choked on every word I never said. The day they laid my daddy down to rest. won't let the sun set on it. You may not get another chance. No, you only get one dance. You may not get another chance.
And we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Our mission here is simple, friends, help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and His purpose. And we were listening to Songs of Chapel, Don't Let the Sun Set on It. And the question of the day is, only if you only had 3.5 minutes. So Matt, great song. How important is it for those who are listening, everyone, to have your own song?
It is extremely important. For me, you know, just being able to, you know, relate and hear a song or even write a song and really, you know, be able to connect and listen to and always take you back to a point where, you know, you can, you know, reflect on a moment in life, or, you know, people have songs that they, you know, makes them think of their wedding, or songs that makes them think of their first date together, or songs that makes them think of their mom, or songs that makes them think of their dad. And, you know, music is, you know, the window to the soul, you know, so being able to create something that other people connect to is extremely important to me. And hearing what other people have written that connects with me is almost as impactful as that. So it's a blessing to be able to do it, and it's a blessing to be exposed to new material that other people have created. So,
wow, absolutely. You know, time has flown by. and I tell you, we're gonna have to come back and do this again. You know, as we kind of go through this, helping people understand having your own 3.5 minute story. You know, what can we be in prayer with you about, and some of the things you're doing, and where can people find you? Not only just on the web, but your upcoming shows and so forth. Kind of talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, people can go to www.artist1mg.com. Artist One, and the MG is like management, artist1mg.com. That has, you know, upcoming shows and a larger selection of music that people can listen to and check out, and things along those lines. You know, anybody that's interested in coming out, please do. It's very enjoyable, a lot of fun. We have outstanding band put together. All the guys are seasoned, roadworthy pros. I mean, they do a phenomenal job, and they're fun to watch. And as far as what people can be in prayer with me about, just, I don't know, man. Same thing I would pray for anybody else about, just, you know, health and happiness and you know, strong families and all of those things, because that's where it's at. That's what's most important. Everything else is just, you know, what we do while we're here. But understanding that it's all temporary is the most important thing, I think.
Right. So we'll be in prayer for you for, I guess I could say, even being more fortunate, right, for your one word, being more blessed.
I don't know if I would ever want to ask to be more fortunate. But.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's the humbleness of you. I get it. I understand. You know, but your music is really, just as you said, can merely a celebration of things that most people overlook, you know, and just kind of think of those moments that those things, those moments in life are seen the most perfect, right? Those small things we take for granted. So, friends, go out to artist1mg.com. You can also link to him on Facebook through our posting there on Q Radio Facebook page, and get connected to him and follow him. Great brother, great friend. We were blessed to have him tonight. We ran out of time. We had more material, but we kind of ran out of time a little bit. But that gives us space to come back next time, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. We'll have new songs before then too. So we write them every day. So
absolutely. And at some point soon, he's going to have a special treat for the On Cue Radio show at some point too. So he's working on some things for us. So we look forward to that as well. And hey, brother, thank you. Hey, we love you. And thanks for coming on tonight, and we'll be in touch real soon, okay?
Love you too, brother. I appreciate it, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll do. That was Matt Chapel. He's a singer, patriot, songwriter, and veteran, born in Lower Alabama, privileged to serve in his country, and he's definitely on the rise when it comes to the country music scene. And a great figure of chasing your dreams and staying committed to that and hearing to what things need to be done in order to do that. You know, as we go through, we're running a little over time, but, you know, as we're going to close out, a lot of what we see today, what we've heard today is about freedom, about your truth. We allow many sons to set in unforgiveness with a hardened heart. And we've all been in our own hillbilly parade, going in circles without a care, making some of the same terms or passing the time without a care. And we got to break those cycles. But then suddenly sometimes life hits us, and you don't see it coming. Lack that level of discernment and focus on the Lord, and kind of gets us in trouble. But instead of finding every reason to complain, let's use that freedom that we have in Christ Jesus and find that 3.5-minute song. And what it would be for you, what's your story, and while you discover it, don't get entangled, as Galatians 5:1 talks about, entangled by the yoke of slavery of your circumstances or situations, and get on cue with God's will, on cue in his calling in our lives, and get others on cue with that purpose. So we thank you for joining us tonight. Kennedy's going to close us out, and we'll see you next week on cue.
Before we go, I would like to thank our special guest, Uncle Matt Chapel. I pray that he spoke to you like he spoke to me. I've been asked for all of you. So just honor your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at OnQ Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Q Leadership. Invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. Consider Q Leadership curriculum and training for your church, home, or company. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Our host, my dad, would like to invite you to the huddle on August 2nd. If you are a leader in church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, you cannot miss this. Our faith-based leadership discovery serves as a foundation to develop a playbook designed for you to enhance your leadership. Your playbook will become your lifelong guide that connects faith and how you handle challenges, make decisions every day, and hold yourself and others accountable. For more information and to register, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. We give all honor and praise to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thanks to those who tuned in. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend and wife, my mom, my little sister Carson, all of our family, friends in life, and on Facebook. We dedicate the show to everyone who listened in. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week.
Lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue with his calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue. Let us help you get on cue.